What's the reason that anybody ever prays? Want something, need something. If you didn't want something or need something, you wouldn't pray, right? What's the reason that you ever desire a relationship with another human being?
Want something.
Need something. What's the reason that you even consider God as a possibility?
Stuff didn't work.
Want something? Need something. There's a pattern here. What?
Then there's another.
It's more than want something, need something. It's want something, need something, old solutions don't work. Want something, need something, old solutions don't satisfy. Want something, need something, I can't do that anymore. I want something, need something, that's what I did before was stupid. And so whether it's prayer, whether it's a relationship between a man and a woman, or whatever you happen to be bent, whatever. Anyway, the basis of life and the basis the basis of life is meeting need. I mean, that's the only thing that drives us. It's the only thing that causes us to do anything as a human race is meeting of need. Let's go to Isaiah 50.
Something.
I can't find it. Why do you labor? Is the operative.
Oh, an echo hole?
No, it's in Isaiah. Why do you labor for that which satisfieth not? I hate this. I hate it when I can't find what I know is there. It's not where it's supposed to be. Somebody moved it. Well, I don't need it. Trust me, it's there. Why do you labor for that which satisfieth not? That's the eternal question that God is always asking. And it doesn't mean labor like work. That's only a very small part of it. It means do something. Take some action. Take some concern. Take some mental worry. Take some mental work. And labor about it and be upset over it and worry about it and massage it for something that when you get it, if you get it, won't satisfy. Doesn't matter whether it's all these things that we've talked about, whether it's the gods of your fathers, whether it's food, whether it's relationships, whether it's careers, whether it's education, why do you labor for that which satisfieth not? Remember, we're talking about prayer. What's troubling you tonight? What are you giving breath to? What are you laboring over? Whatever you're laboring over something which has never satisfied you in the past. And yet you think it will satisfy you this time. Does that communicate with anybody? So why do you labor for that which satisfieth not is always the eternal question. And God, the promise of God that's written throughout the Bible from Genesis through Revelation is that God promises you to have something which sustains you, which gives you satisfaction, for which you have to labor, not for. And that's the idea of prayer, is to cause you to move from the place where you're laboring for futility to move into a place where you're satisfied and completely at rest. And so the reason that prayer and sex are alike is because for most of you, you start out, and whether you're successful at relationships or sex or whether you're not successful, you're at least successful in your mind. Somebody ever doubt that? You're always successful with the opposite sex in your mind. Everybody know what I mean? Anybody doubt that that's true? Do I have to like belabor that point, or can you accept that? Huh?
I don't understand.
You understand what dining alone means?
Oh, yeah.
Oh. You always score in your mind.
Oh, so if it's only in your mind, you're successful.
Right.
Oh, okay, I understand.
You understand that?
I just have a great sex life. Yes. Somebody was there to enjoy it.
Harry's starting to carry a picture of his right hand in his wallet.
Can't say that. I don't. Can't. You don't get that
take. What? Huh? You understand now?
Yes.
We don't have to pick on you anymore.
Unfortunately, I had an open wallet. I think
Do you understand now? It's like there's been a connection.
Yes.
A snaps is
more areas than just that.
Okay. But sex is the most intense. It's just the revelator of everything else. The problem then is that the thing that occurs in our natural life doesn't meet the same standards that occurred in our mind. No matter how well and how much you think you wanted to get married, how much you think you wanted that relationship, when you get it, it never, ever, 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 not even once, meets the standards of what's in your mind. Do you understand? That's why fantasy is successful. Fantasy works because it's successful. Fantasy continues because it's successful. Now the problem is that's a definition of your prayer life. The prayer life is a fantasy life. It has nothing to do with reality. And the same reason that fantasy, sexual fantasy, destroys relationships and destroys your capacity to have a relationship, so the same thing is true in terms of man's ability to have a relationship with God. Because he creates in his mind the answer to the prayer, or this, as we studied last week, or it was Thursday night, the Lord's Prayer in reverse. And it never, ever, ever, ever has the component of waiting or abiding in it. Because in your mind doesn't know time. Am I communicating with anybody, or am I getting off? Your mind only knows instant gratification. It cannot know time. All that television is, and all of that this modern society is a society has caught up with what your mind wants. And so for you to, you know, to be complaining about what's on television or the fast food society, all it is is society is caught up with what man's mind has been all the time. That's why we know we're close to the end. Now, somehow, in order for prayer to become, to have any effectiveness, it has to have and lose, for somehow, the internal praying, the internal creation of realities, has to be seen as stupid. Until that happens, there can be no true prayer. There cannot be prayer. There can only be what you think might be prayer. There can only be playing around with prayer. There can only be liturgical prayer, but there can't be prayer. Until you see that the creation of your mind can't work anymore. Can you hear me? I think there's like dull of hearing in here.
Well, you're talking about talking about is you take and define not only what it is you think you want, but you take and define what it will look like, what, you know, I mean, it's like you make like a little film in your head of exactly what it will be like, and so that becomes the life, and either one, it keeps you from actually stepping out and experiencing that, or when you do step out and experience it, it in no way can match exactly the form that you've taken and made in your mind.
Not only can't it match it, it cannot equal it. It cannot come anywhere as near in intensity or anything else.
That we can't pray because we don't even know what to pray for.
Well, yeah, but the fact is you do pray.
Right.
And you pray, not only do you pray as if you were God. Your prayer is one of creating an environment that you think it should look like. You create the thing that you think you desire in your mind. And so there's never obedience. There's never hearing under in whatever arena you're in. There's only always complaining, murmuring. There's only always some, you know, you never know that, you know, Marilyn, the theology, God stuff according to Marilyn is always today. I told you about Marilyn's. Marilyn couldn't understand yesterday and tomorrow. So she was, were you part of that when she was doing that? So she was going through all these gyrations trying to understand the concept of yesterday and the concept of tomorrow. It didn't make any sense to her. And so she finally just let it, she got something that satisfied her, and that is, today is always today. That's enough. But that's not what your mind... No matter what it is, it happens to you. Boom. Your mind says it shouldn't be like this. Or on those rare occasions in your entire life when something happened that exceeded your expectations or that was better than you anticipated, then it doesn't last. Is that a fair estimation? That's why I keep telling you, from my standpoint, anything that I've ever done that has any value was never, ever once planned by me. And so, if I try to think, or neither was it ever, ever, the situation that I always thought may end up being the worst, the thing that I hated, always ended up producing the best. Well, anyway, somehow... In this, the relations, prayer has to start off with aloneness. And for prayer to, in order for the environment for aloneness to have existed, you have to have not any options in your mind. Otherwise, you don't have, you're not alone. Can you hear that?
Okay.
You can't be alone if you have an idea of the way things should be. Because then you're a companion with the thing you've invented. You have an idea the way a situation should be. You have an idea the way anything should be. Then that thing is your companion. You're not alone. Prayer has to start off with aloneness. The same way that a relationship between a man and a woman has to start out with aloneness. If you're not alone, if your life is filled with members of the opposite sex, there's no interest. There's no need. You're never alone, so that the idea of looking or desiring or something to fulfill that void can't exist. So prayer must start off with aloneness. I still think I'm talking to the ceiling.
Well, it's like you said before that only after everything has failed, fully only has after you have been.
Do you understand what aloneness means? Aloneness means void
and empty. Tohu abohu, or whatever that is?
No, it's vanity of vanity, all is vanity.
And then the spiritual.
The earth was without form and void. Only then does the Holy Spirit move. Can you hear me? And so all of the things that you think are these terrible, terrible, terrible things that are happening to you that cause you to be internally without form and void, the Holy Spirit can't move until you're without form and void. Now, so you go through this, you go through life and you, oh, I've got a failure here. Then I got it up to here. Now I'm okay again. So, but the Holy Spirit can't move until you're without form and void. Neither can you have a true relationship with another person until you are without form and void. There can't be true sex, if you will, until you are without form and void.
Well, she's pushing the issue tonight.
You are
crazy.
That's
a good part.
I don't know.
How?
He really did. Thank you.
Okay. So then there has to be this. That's what it means when the smartest man that have ever lives. Whoever lives said, vanity of vanity, all is vanity. Vanity of vanity, all is vanity. Vanity of vanity, all is without form and void. Nothing can begin until it happens. That's why I get so upset when I hear people telling me what they think should be or what they have ideas about this, or ideas about that, or opinions about this, and opinions about that, because as long as that happens, the earth cannot be without form and void. Now this is what it means to empty yourself. Can you understand that? If you're going to have opinions and ideas about why things should be, and this and that and this and that, that's why if I had my way, I would outlaw movies and television. The reason is that, and I would outlaw words with music with words, except the words of God, because all those things fill the void. They don't let you face the emptiness and the void of your own soul. And so you fill it up with all this horseshit, somebody else's failed imaginings. That's why drama was illegal in ancient Israel. Spectator anything was illegal in ancient, because so that you wouldn't fill up the void with something, because from the beginning of time, there has to be a void and no form in order for the Holy Spirit of God to work.
Really, that's the only way that I can see that how God already knows everything that I need or under that anyone.
But he'll never fight your efforts. So if you have an idea of the way things should be, then you're always, always, always out of the rest. I mean, that was my biggest struggle with you. Well, it's been my biggest struggle with everybody, but in particular, you're the last one that had this great, and it's Harry's constant struggle. And the reason it's so important is, and it's the same as the relationship between a man and woman, sex. If you filled up this with an image, then you cannot ever possibly find the right person. It's not because nobody lives in your created universe except you. And, your fantasies of this perfect or this evil or whatever it happens to be your kink doesn't exist. And so you, rather than letting the thing be without form and void, empty, you kept pulling, fishing, putting more and more stuff in it until there's never silence in the temple. There's only complaining. There's only murmuring. And it's the same as true with a man and a woman. There's only complaining. There's only murmuring. And woe unto the member of the opposite sex that your partner, in the midst of your lack of being void and empty. Woe unto anyone that you deal with. Because you will always be in the position of being a talebearer, complainer, murmurer. You will, if you look at the law, all of the things in the law are to cause you to come to emptiness, to be without form and void. This is really, really important.
And it really takes you back to the foundations of the earth.
That's right. And that's
reading Genesis.
The earth was without form and void. You understand?
Mm-hmm. Very, very. It's like running into a brick wall. I feel like I did when I was sitting around contemplating trying to live without cigarettes. I thought I couldn't live if I couldn't smoke. In fact, I don't want to live if I can't smoke. As crazy as that, that's what I thought. That's how I felt. And it's like now I have that same threatened feeling of God. I don't think I could live if I couldn't do that. And then I think I don't think I'd want to live if I couldn't do that because that's all I do. It's either thoughts or opinions or judgments or liturgy or both.
Well, everybody has to come to this point. Otherwise, you will leave the body. You will leave your walk with God. Unless you come fully to the point where you are without form and void in every arena of your life. Okay, then if you're without form and void, now, for the first time, sex can happen.
Really? Can you take your word for it, Robin?
And for the first time, for the first time, prayer can happen. Because otherwise, you're praying to the God that you've created in your world, just as if you're trying to have sex with the person that you've created in your world. Neither one of them exists. And you can be this great hustler, con man, and tell your partner how wonderful everything is, but you're lying like a rug. And pretty soon you get caught in your lies. And it's endemic. It's basic to the human nature. It's basic to the beast. Now that's why sex is the closest thing we have on earth to show us the longing that God has for His bride. And that's why it's the closest thing there is on the face of the earth to true prayer. Now, when we're in that place of void, of empty,
huh? When you think of that, it's like you're
trying
to have sex with yourself.
That's right.
It's just an image in your head.
Yeah. Well, it's worse than that. It's it's in the spiritually, it's necrophilia. Because you're having sex with a dead person. And for some of you, it's really true. I can't say that. All right. Okay, now, what happens after the aloneness hits? That without form and void is then. And do you understand that you've been in this position 100,000 times? You've been in the aloneness, the without form and void, 100,000 times. Now what happens? You quickly find something to fill the void. Quickly. I got to do it quickly. I got to hustle. I got to con. I got to fix it. I got to do something to fill the void.
It's like in that place, there's total death around you. It's just, it feels like just totally complete death. You know, there's like that impulse to grab something and to like.
Any old port in the storm.
Excuse me?
Any old port in the storm?
So speak, yeah.
Girls get prettier at closing.
I mean, not just for like a relationship, but.
Oh, yeah, for everything.
Turn the radio on or turn a TV on or, you know, like this, especially during like spring and fall when there's like, when you don't have the heaters on, you don't have the white noise. Yeah. And, but this kind of neat, I'm getting to where I like that. When the voices start going, there's something wrong, you know, you're all alone, you're cut off, you're dead, you're whatever, you know, I know that's a lot.
You cannot be segmented, but all your life you have segmented yourself. You have separated your needs and quantified your needs and said, I have physical needs, I have sexual needs, I have emotional needs, I have societal needs, I have intellectual needs, I have spiritual needs, I have financial needs, I have health needs, I have moral needs, I have God needs. And so you categorize and pigeonhole all the possible needs that you have in your life. Well, no, I mean, even if you don't need them now. But the point of it is, as long as you think in terms of that segmentation, by definition, none of the needs will be met. Because that segmentation is an invention of names. It doesn't exist. You understand? Because God says that the only way to meet all of those needs is by eating the bread that satisfies. In other words, all of those needs have to be met as a unit, and then everything else will fall into place. But if you're going after these things as segmented points on a postal box, so you got all these little dealies. Well, I got my financial needs, and I got my family needs, and I got my kid needs, and I got my parent needs, and I got my this needs, and I got my that needs, and I got my sexual needs, and I got my.
And if you add all those up, they equal God or fulfillment or something. That's a lie.
Well,
it's mechanistic.
It's a point that. Well, there's a place. Go to Proverbs, I think 23. If I was ready, if I'd have studied for this, if I had good notes. Oh, it's Job. I was pretty close. Job 23. Verse 8, behold, I go forward, but he is not there. And backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand where he doeth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot hath held his steps. His way have I kept and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Christ said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth. The Lord's prayer is, Lord, give me my daily bread. Isaiah says, why do you labor for that which satisfieth not? The bread of life, the promise of it is it will satisfy every possible need that you have segmented. And in that satisfaction of every need that you have segmented, a mystery takes place. Once you eat first of that bread, then every desire of your heart is met. But it's always opposite. It's always from a totally different direction than you've ever imagined. You can't get to the place that we just read in Job until you have experienced being without form and void. Does everybody understand that?
To have the image that God is there. Job is saying he's not to the right, he's not to the left, he's not forward, he's not backward. It's like, I even dream in my sleep.
Well, because it's possible only when you know that all images are evil and vain.
Just through repetition of that knowledge,
they won't ever go away. Like cast down or
something? Well, that's why it says the weapons of our warfare, you know, we believe it can't happen. I mean, if somebody told me, like I remember telling Stell, that the basic sin of life is self-realization, and that the only remedy for self-realization was the complete and total abandonment of self, I'd have told them what they could have done with that. Until I had reached a point where I recognized the futility of all my own efforts. Then it was the greatest news in the universe. But as long as I have an image of what I think things should be, then I will be forever in the state of not the attitude of prayer. I will be forever in the state of rebellion, self-justification. I will be forever in the state of sorcery, trying to go up to the mountain and figure all this stuff out. And so I will be praying to the wrong God. God cannot be there until you are without form and void. Or you will, he's always there, but you won't know he's there because he will hide himself from you. Now, this has to include every spiritual how-to that you can know. Every little trick. All the little prayers and little things that you learn, principles, they all have to go right down the tubes. Now you start out this emptying place, and then you begin to suspect that maybe God can meet all these needs, and then maybe you can begin to suspect that prayer might work. What happens? What's the next step when you, in a male-female relationship, starts out on the basis of need or aloneness, and then the next step goes to, well, maybe that person can meet those needs. What's the next step? Then what comes next? Courting. It's a dance. The courting or the foreplay is a dance. And that's the reason, that's why dancing was invented. It's foreplay. See, if you think you're dancing for any other reason, you're a fool. That's why David danced before the Lord when the ark was returned. Communicating? There's the dancing, the foreplay, the courting, to find out you're evaluating the worthiness of the other party. Now, some of you are too afraid to evaluate the worthiness of God. You're doing it, but you're afraid to admit it. And so instead you evaluate the worthiness of his people. Capisce? But then there has to be now comes the hallmark that's differentiates the true God from all other gods. And that's the concept of waiting. All false gods do not require waiting. All false gods give you some sense of instant gratification. Does everybody understand that?
Yes, if the timing is your own.
Well, but you gain the pleasure from it even if before it's happened. You get a great idea. Oh, that's a great idea. It's a stupid god, but oh, that's a great idea.
So the gratification starts up with the
instant
of the idea.
Right. Okay, you got that? The difference now where the true God steps in is the idea that he requires waiting. And that's why the true relationship between a man and a woman requires waiting. Otherwise, it's doomed to failure instantly. God wants us remember in Corinthians it says, "Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the heart of man that which God hath prepared for them that love him." That's a quote from Jeremiah, and it says, "Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the heart of man that which God hath prepared for them that wait on him." From God's perspective, waiting and love are exactly the same thing. If there is no waiting, there is no love. But that's why waiting sexually is vital. Whether you like to know this or not, every time that you've had sex with someone, God sees it as marrying them. Because when the two become one flesh, then you're married. Doesn't matter. There's no ceremony in ancient Judaism to get married. It's just you're married. Fortunately, the blood has forgiven us, but God desires that same waiting with regard to prayer, because prayer and the sex act are the same thing. And
so that when two people have sex, they're like praying to God.
Right.
Really cool. But what if you never
marry? Doesn't matter. Marriage is only a picture. It's no more important than if you did marry. Or didn't marry.
Well, I just got lost in something. Because it sounded like you wait to pray or something.
No, you wait for the answer. And you cast down every imagination that comes against that.
So
the warfare, once you pray, warfare begins. But it's not warfare anything out here, it's all in here. Because once you pray, then all of the false gods and false universes that you've created in your mind in the past will all be resurrected to go to battle with waiting.
Masturbation is not waiting.
That's right. So the act of praying, once you finally empty yourself and have given God the right to meet whatever need it is or whatever situation it is, then spiritually that's the act of becoming betrothed. For the first time in your life, you're praying to the real God. Instead of praying to yourself. Now, then betrothal is the act of waiting, but waiting hopefully. That's why the scriptures talk about the different kinds of positions
Actually, it's the different levels of apprehension. It's the Well, you don't to do it. Yeah, but even the brand newest believer can be an intercessor. I mean, what I'm telling you, you don't have to remember this.
No.
Now, I guess I better talk about it in a minute. The prayer of the child. Remember in 1 John says, I write unto you, little children, because your sin is forgiven. I write unto you, adolescents, because you know the Father. I write unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abideth continually in you, and you've overcome the evil one. And finally, I write unto you, fathers, because you've been with him from the beginning. The prayer of the child, the little child, it's not any different than, you know, it's not much different than the prayer of the world. It's basically begging. The prayer, well, that's a bit. The prayer of the one in the adolescent is just total and mass confusion. You know what the hell he wants. All he knows is that God is somehow there. The prayer of the young man is anticipation, confident hope, and the prayer of the father is speaking something into existence. It's calling forth that thing which is not as though it were, or vice versa. Don't let me confuse you in terms of trying to identify those positions. I mean, don't try to use the same parable to answer all different questions. But I want you to understand tonight, and then we'll start with this in mind, we'll study the Lord's Prayer Tuesday night, that the takeaway from tonight is that, number one, prayer to God is the rarest thing in the universe. It's almost non-existent. Just as the belief in one God is the rarest thing in the universe. That true prayer cannot take place until the vessel, the in-earth position, is without form and void. Now, you understand that you can create, you can cause the earth to be without form and void? By casting down imaginations and every high place that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who continually emptied himself. You don't have to give breath to the vain thoughts within you. How long shall you allow the vain thoughts to lodge within you? You don't have to give breath to them anymore. But basically, I want you to take away tonight that true prayer can only begin when the earth is without form and void. God's very lonely. That's why he created the universe. So anytime somebody is teaching you to pray, and in fact, anytime somebody uses the Lord's Prayer as the example of how to pray, I promise you they've misunderstood. They've tried to take principles of life. Anyway, anybody have anything? But you got to understand, you've got to go to battle with the ideas and opinions, and I mean, if you don't see them as enemies of the emptiness and the void, then you will never understand prayer.
But
Most of the time I couldn't even pray. I couldn't think. Well, the biggest experience of prayer was is that the prayer wasn't asking for something. Prayer was intimacy. And intimacy is its own reward. True prayer, you know, this sounds stupid, but true prayer in reality is cuddling with God.
Should he do something about it? Should he ask for it to be changed? No. And then he said,
for this hour came I into the earth.
I keep thinking about that. So I'm listening to what you're saying. I'm hearing what you're saying. And I keep thinking about that example of Christ praying.
Yeah, that's the greatest.
I know you're my Father. I know you're in control. I'm not very comfortable right now. And I'm going to sit here and wait and see what you do.
But it's also important, in order to be free from your past, is that you have to understand that there was never a moment when God wasn't cuddling you. Even in the midst of the most horrendous things that may have happened to you. And the reason is that those things had to happen so you would fit into the body of Christ. And tonight, if there's something troubling you, don't massage it. Just cast it down. That's stupid, no matter what it is.
So he was cuddling you, but you just, like in Job, you didn't know that he was there.
Right. Okay. So we'll study the Lord's Prayer Tuesday. I hope. Take a big breath.